Now, the rest of the story. There are only two possible explanations for what you're about to hear. Either it was the most phenomenal coincidence that ever occurred, or it was an act of God literally. And remember, as you learn what happened on that rainy Thursday afternoon 100 summers ago, that a stack of sworn statements and legal documents say that it was so. There was just one problem with Swan Quarter, North Carolina. It's a lowland town. Naturally, the choicest real estate there is on the highest ground, and for the heavy rains, the closer you are to sea level, the harder you're hit. Well, a little more than 100 years ago, the Methodists of Swan Quarter had no church. The only available lot on which to build one was a plot of low-lying property on Oyster Creek Road. Far from an ideal location, you understand, but they'd acquired the land and construction began. Church was to be white frame, small but sturdy, propped up on brick pilings. In 1876, the building was completed on Sunday, September 16, a joyous dedication ceremony. Sunday now, September 16. 3 days later, Wednesday, a terrible storm lashed Swan Quarter. All day the wind howled, the rain came down in a gray wall of water. By nightfall, devastation. Much of the town was flooded. Many roofs were ripped from homes by the cyclonic turbulence. The storm raged on, all through the night into the bleak morning. By Thursday afternoon, the wind had subsided. The rain had all but stopped, but for the first time in more than a day, there was an almost eerie calm. And one by one, the citizens of Swan Quarter threw back the shutters and peered from what was left of their homes. Most saw only a desolate waterscape, a community ravaged by nature. But those within the sight of Oyster Creek Road beheld the most incredible sight they had ever seen. The church, the Swan Quarter Methodist Church, the whole building intact, was floating down the street. The floodwaters had lifted it from the brick pilings on which it had rested, gently lifted the entire structure, and had sent it off slowly, silently, down Oyster Creek Road. Within minutes, several concerned townspeople were sloshing about in the street, waist-deep, fighting the rushing current, trying desperately to reach the still-moving church, and then to moor it with lengths of rope. The ropes were fastened, but the effort was in vain, for there was no stable structure secure enough to restrain the floating chapel. And as the building passed by, more attention was attracted, more aid was enlisted, to no avail. The church moved on. By now, the building had made it to the center of town, still on Oyster Creek Road, mind you. Then, as dozens, amazed, helpless, watched the Swan Quarter Methodist Church, still floating, made a sharp, inexplicable right turn, continued down that road as though the chapel were alive, as though it had a mind of its own. For two more blocks, the townspeople fought the ropes to hold it back, unsuccessfully. Then, in the same decisive manner with which it had moved, the church veered off the road and headed for the center of a vacant lot, and there it stopped. When the flood water receded, the church remained, and it's there to this day. 100 Septembers have passed since the little white frame church removed itself to the most desirable property in Swan Quarter. Next September will be 111 Septembers. And in the process of making up your own mind as to how and why what happened happened, you ought to know this one thing more, that the choice highland lot where the chapel settled was the first choice of the town Methodists, and that the shrewd, prosperous landowner whose property it was originally turned them down. But that next morning, after the flood, after discovering the church right in the middle of his lot, that same landowner went to the Methodist minister and with trembling hands presented him with the deed at no cost whatever. And now you know the rest of the story.